Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he, Jesus, cometh to a city named Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him, and they besought him, they asked him, they begged him to touch this man. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught or saw anything. And the man looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. I see men as trees walking. After that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And the man was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. You know, that used to trouble me, why Jesus would say, don't tell anybody. But you see, it wasn't time for Jesus to be proclaimed. It wasn't time. It wasn't his time yet. He still needed to do ministry. When people started telling about him, that's when the Sadducees, the religious leaders, started raising up in envy to stop Jesus. That's when they started making plans, and Jesus didn't want his ministry to be stopped. But today it's quite the opposite. He tells us, tell everybody about him. But what I want you to see in this passage is, I want you to see yourself. They brought a blind man. I'm bringing you as blind, somebody that's blind. I'm bringing you to Jesus. God, am I blind? Is there things I don't see? You willing to ask him that? Jesus, are there things I don't see? I don't want to be blind to? I'm asking you to touch them, Jesus. And when Jesus spit on your eyes and put his hands upon him, he said, do you see anything? This man said, I see men as trees walking. When God starts dealing with somebody, they start seeing things different. Until then, we're going through life just caught up in all the stuff of this world. We're looking at TV and cars and what we have and what we don't have and what others have. We're just caught up, blah, 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 blah. Just walking through, just trees everywhere. Just, we don't even see people as they really are. We just see people as people that hurt us or something. Or they're in our way. But when God starts dealing with us, we start noticing people. But we don't see them clearly. But when Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes, he saw every man clearly. How do you see people? I used to preach this passage all over America, and I called it the second touch of Jesus. Are you willing to see people through God's eyes? I'm just going to stop here for a minute because that was a question. Are you willing to see people through God's eyes? God, I want to see people through your eyes. God, I want to see them as you do. Do you realize that every single person is an eternal spirit? Look around the people in this room. There may be somebody in this room that is going to spend eternity in hell. Is hell real to you? Is hell, I'm asking you, each one of you, is hell real to you? Yes. Have you ever seen hell? What have you seen of hell? What do you believe about hell? I don't know in our 8 years of being here if I have ever preached on hell. I've thought about it a lot of times. I don't know if I've ever preached on it. But you know what? One day I asked God, I said, God, I want to see if people if they die, if they're going to go to hell, where are they going? I want to see hell through your eyes. God gave me a glimpse of hell. I want you to look, not right now, but I want you to write it down. Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. Luke 16, 19 to 31. You're going to find in there a word that's in there four times, and the word is torments. T-O-R-M-E-N-T-S. Have you ever been burned by a fire? You've experienced a little of torment. We had a man that came to our church when we lived in Flint. Are you listening to me? Does anybody in here have a scar from a fire? Do you? Can I see it? Is it somewhere? Okay. I have something like that from when I climbed on the back of a motorcycle when a guy was teaching me how to deliver newspapers when I was 12 years old, and I had that. I put my leg against his, that pipe, whatever, on that motorcycle. Oh, my word. I found that it was hot. Didn't even have to ask. This man liked a girl, and maybe they were involved, whatever, I don't know. But anyway, she broke up with him or something, and he thought, I don't want to live. So he went out into a field. Are you listening to me? He went out into a field. This is a man I know. He took a gas can and poured it over his head. And a man across the street, a farmer, looked across the street and saw him doing this. And the guy I know took a match and lit himself on fire. The second he lit himself on fire, he knew he had made a mistake. This is not the way he needed to kill himself. The farmer came running, knocked him on the ground, and rolled him to put the fire out. Okay, he actually brought a blanket, you know, put on him. This man that Sue and I know, when you first met him, even after you'd known him the whole time we knew him, you could hardly stand looking at him because his face, his whole body, his arms, his hands were all one continual scar. Hollywood doesn't know how to make it as bad as this guy was. This guy burned himself, and he said, you can't even imagine the pain. Hell is hotter than that. Hell is forever. God, I dare you to pray this. God, I want to see hell through your eyes because I want it to be so real that I would be moved to tell others about you. I would not let them go. I would not get caught up in what they're doing, their attitudes. That's not them. They weren't made that way. They were made perfect in your image. And I want to see people through your eyes. So help me to see hell the way it really is. Your heart, God, I want to have your heart and mind for others. Turn over to Matthew, please, chapter 9 and verse 36. Matthew 9:36. I thought I had it right here. Let's see. Matthew 9:36. We're talking about soul winning here. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, are you there? Matthew 9:36. I saw that hand. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. He was moved. Oh, I see him. Well, too bad. Let's go watch our movie. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do you know that's what I see when I go into, when I walk around in this world? That's what I see. It breaks my heart. It rips my heart out. And I'm like, Lord, can I help them? And so many of them, he just says, you have to pray for them. Love them from a distance. They're not ready yet. They don't want to hear. And it hurts me. It's like I'm grieved inside. Christianity is not about a party. Christianity is not about, oh, I feel good. I got God. Look, I got a bunch of God bumps. Oh, let's fall down. Let's raise our hands. Let's jump up and down. Wasn't this wonderful? We had a nice little Christian party. God loves you. He loved you so much. He was moved so much in heaven on his throne, and he stood up and said, I can't stay here anymore. I got to make a plan to go down there to save them. I didn't create them for this. The majority of them, droves of them every day going into hell. I didn't create them for this. They're hurting one another. They're molesting their kids. They're raping people. They're stealing. They're living for self. They're wasting their time. It's like, I didn't create them for this. I have so much more. And when they're out trying to do their own thing, to fill themselves, you know, you could go do all kinds of sin, and it's fun for a little bit. You know what I mean? But then afterwards, it leaves you worse than before you went and did it. More empty. More wanting. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying is true. Guy, the only thing that will fill you is Jesus Christ. He's got a purpose, a plan for you. He wants you. He loves you. You know what's going to be hard for me? I'm going to tell you one thing that's going to be hard for me. Standing at the throne of God when there's people, maybe some in this room, that are going to come to stand before God and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And they're going to have to go to hell. Because I'm like, Lord, I tried, I loved him, I told him, I did whatever. But every single person has a free will. There was somebody that last week God put on my heart, never met this person, but I was praying for people here, and God put somebody on my heart connected to one of you and said, I want you to go see this person. I want you to talk to them about me. I said, okay. Then I came to church last week, and that person they're connected to came to me crying and said, would you do me a favor? And I said, God already told me. You want me to go see this person? They go, yeah. And I said, God already told me. I have pursued that person, been calling them, and what's that little thing? Text. I hate texting. And I've been doing that all week because that's the only way they would respond. And I've got text after text after text of me saying, let's get together. When can we get together? How about today? How about tomorrow? You tell me what works for you. I'll go. When? Where? Woo, bah. And their answer would be, okay, I'm busy. Okay. Okay. Call me. Okay. And I've never heard. Can I tell you something? When you come here, you probably don't even see a sign that says Burning Bush. A lot of times when we start churches, we don't ever have a sign. People don't come in by signs. And if they do, they're probably not looking for God. They're looking for a community to be a part of. Okay?
God tells us to go. We're supposed to go after them, not put up signs and say, we've got a nice little place here. Why don't you come? It's like we need to go out and rescue the perishing. We need to go out and let somebody know, I care. He's got people in his life that I will never meet. But he's got people in his life. And it's like God moves on him. And I know what Tom does. He witnesses to people. He talks to people. He gives them the light that he has. He gives them everything that he has. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to stand up in front. You don't have to. It's just, do you have Jesus? Whatever you have, give it away. Do you hear me? Does anybody hear me? Both the hitmen I led to Jesus. God didn't ask you to witness to a professional killer, but God did have me do it. God designed me to do it. God designed me to witness to corporate executives. God designed me to witness to preachers. God puts them in my life, and he moves on me. People that are millionaires. I had a millionaire one time talking to him, and his dad had died. And his mom came to our church, and they lived right next door to us. God burned our house down so we could go live by them, okay, for 7 months, 6 months, whatever it was. And that man and I would talk, and that man died. I'd gone to him 2 days before he died, and he said, and he called me to the hospital. I thought he was finally ready to hear. No, preacher, I don't want to hear anything about that. Just take care of my wife. She likes you, so you take care of my wife. So I go to do the funeral, and one of his children was a millionaire, multimillionaire. And he said to me, preacher, keep it short. When you talk at the funeral, don't talk long. I'm like, dude. If I wasn't a Christian, we'd step outside and rip your arm off and beat you to death with it. You know? And God designed me in such a way where I stood up to this guy. I don't think it was in pride. And I said, you pay attention to what I say, and I'll pay attention to the time. And when I got through speaking at the funeral, the multimillionaire went to the door where everybody was leaving to go to the food afterwards, and he said, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? And he started talking about the message to everybody. Now, everybody's not designed. You would be intimidated. I'm not intimidated by people, okay, if you haven't noticed yet. I just thought I'd tell you. Really? God wants us to see people through his eyes. In Matthew 9 there, he says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Last week we talked about Romans Road. So what I want you to remember something, John 3:5. Except a man be born of the Spirit, he can't enter into the kingdom of God. Every person has to be born again. I start talking to people all the time, and people will be telling me about being a Christian, and or we're talking, and, oh, yes, I feel all goosey with you talking about God. Oh, it makes me feel good because I talk about the love of God or whatever he has to be talking about. And then I say to them, are you born again? Huh? Are you born again? Oh. Are you born again? No. If they died within the next 60 seconds, where would they go? Now, Do they just go there for like a month and then we get to start over again? How real is hell to you? You see, it's so real to me that it moves me. Ask God to make it real to you. Okay? I want you to notice in verse 37 in Matthew 9. Then saith he unto his disciples. Are you one of Jesus' disciples? One of you are. Anybody else a disciple? Oh, okay. Four of you are. Okay. All right, here we go. He said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. What does that mean? Have you ever harvested corn, peas, beans, potatoes? Have you ever done that? You can look out and there's like a whole lot to do. Okay? It says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It's like when, huh? Okay. It's not just lazy. It's not just lazy. It is lazy. But why are the laborers few? We can talk about that. That's not where I want to go right now. Maybe I will, but anyway. The harvest is plenteous. Do you know all those people out there, the majority of them, there's five that I can see. I bet the majority of them are on their way to hell. Now, when you read Luke 16 that I gave you, and it talks about the rich man, who do you love that you're not sure they're going to heaven? Could you give me a name right now? Who do you love that you're not sure they're going to heaven? Say their name out loud. Come on. Mom, Joe, say their name out loud. Do you know somebody? Okay. Now, when you're reading Luke 16, I want you to put their name in there. Not the rich man. Put their name in there. Mom fared sumptuously every day. And mom died, and in hell she lift up her eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and cried, saying, Father Abraham, do you understand? Put your person in there. Do you want them to go there? I'm telling you because this is real. It happens every day. And they're on their way there. They don't know God yet. We care about them. We're moved. We care about them. What did Jesus say? The harvest truly is plenteous. There's many people that need to be harvested, need to be brought in. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Would you please pray? Do you know my name is Harvey Hampton? There is a brother I know, before I even knew what prophecy was, he prophesied my name and he called me Harvest Happening. He said, you're Harvest Happening. And God just quickened that inside of me and said, that's what you're going to do, Harv, is you are going to be a harvest. You're going to harvest a crop and it's going to be happening. And it's been happening my whole life since I met Jesus. Because as soon as I met him, I couldn't quit talking about him. Here's one other thing. If you were to die today, are you 100% positive you would go to heaven? Would you write that down? If I was to die today, am I 100% positive I would immediately go to be with God in heaven? It's something you ought to memorize. You know why? It's a good opening statement with people when you're talking to them about eternity. If you were to die today, are you 100% positive you would immediately go to be with God in heaven? And you know what people say to me? I hope so. I think so. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm working on it. And you know what I like to say to them? Do you have clothes on? And they said, what do you mean? I said, do you have, they just looked at me. I said, do you have clothes on? And they go, yeah. I said, you mean you don't hope so, think so, try, do your best and work on it? You know so? You want a verse to go with that? I'm glad you asked. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, not hope, wish, think, that ye may know that you have eternal life. If you don't know it, it's because you ain't got it. Do you got clothes on? Oh, I hope so. I think so. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm working on it. I know so. Do y'all love me? I love you. Do you? Don't worry. You don't have to answer. Okay. Romans Road. We went over Romans Road. I'm going to do it real quick because I only got 2 minutes. Okay? So I'll probably only take a little bit more. But you ready? Romans Road. We wrote down verses last week. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Are you there? Real quick, we're going to go over it. You want to talk to somebody about how to know Jesus personally. How to be born again. Are you ready? It's real simple. Okay? The first thing they have to realize is that they are a sinner. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is none righteous. No one's righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And after you show that to them, ask them, do you understand? Don't just run them through a bunch of verses. Are you ready? I'm helping you. I'm giving you something here that could save a soul from death. Are you ready? Do you know that you're a sinner? What do you see out of this? Romans 3, 10 through 12. What do you see? Well, it says that everybody's a sinner. Are you a sinner? Yeah. Are you good? Well, I think I'm good because what they're doing is a horizontal comparison. Because we can always find somebody who's doing worse than us. But God says, the Bible says, there's none righteous. So are you good enough to go to heaven? Well, let me ask you this question. Would God be good if he let sin into heaven? Ah. So God can't let sin into heaven. So you ready? Every sin has to be paid for. Write it down. Every sin has to be paid for. That's why you got to come to Jesus. Because remember what he said? See it up over the cross? It is finished. God took all of our sin, put it on Jesus, and Jesus said, paid in full. It is finished. I've done everything to satisfy the justice of God for sin. Okay, so we're only going to do that one this week. Romans 3, 10 through 12. I want you to look at that, and then you share that with somebody this week. Just read those verses. Memorize the verses if you want, whichever. We always tell people to memorize it. It's easy. Let me give you a thought. The more, like, verses you know, or if you carry your little Bible or your little, whatever these things are called, pad or something, I forgot what they're called, tablet, okay, all this electronic stuff, okay, or your smartphone, have the Bible on there. Have those verses on there and show them to somebody. Hey, I was reading something. What do you get out of that? I've said that to so many people. I was reading this. What do you think about it? Oh, it grabs them. This man made a statement earlier, not to embarrass him. He made a statement earlier. I said, if you were to die today, you're 100% positive you'd immediately go to be with God in heaven. And he said, I think about it every day. See, he doesn't have it nailed down. My heart went out to him. It's like I'm going to get all over this guy like white on rice. I'm gonna go and talk to this guy because I want to help him get that nailed down. Because you can't go forward with God until you get that nailed down. If you're always doubting, I hope so, I think so, I messed up again, he shouldn't let me in. Then guy, your life's going to be like, and it's like the devil just is messing with you all the time. Okay, I got to look at one more verse and then we'll be done. James chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. I believe it's 20 and 21. I'll know as soon as I get there. James chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20. I'm sorry. 20 and 21 didn't sound right. 19 and 20. James chapter 5. Listen to it. Are you ready? Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, or divert, or go away from the truth, and one convert him. What is this? Yeah, what else do we know it as? The Word of God. Do you think it might be true, or does it just contain truth, or is it all true? Okay, so let's read it. James 5, 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do err, go away from the truth, and one convert him. What does that mean? One brings him back, turns him around. You ready? Look at verse 20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. When somebody brought me to Jesus, see, our soul is a mind, will, and emotions. Say that with me. A soul is a mind, will, and emotions. I'm sorry. The rest of you, say it with me. A soul is mind, will, and emotions. We'll do it again. A soul is mind, will, and emotions. Come on, we got to hear it louder. Y'all got to be louder than John now. A soul is mind, will, and emotions. Good. You got that? Okay. And when somebody converted me, July 1st, 1976, on a Thursday, 7:55 p.m., dude, they saved my soul from eternal separation from God. They saved my soul from an eternal burning. They saved my soul from death. And they hid a multitude of sin. They took, because Jesus took all my sin, which was huge. It filled an ocean. I was praying to ask God to forgive me, because that's how I'd been taught. I was there with the preacher, and he said, if you could know what God wanted you to do, would you do it? I remember thinking, if I could know God is real, I'd do whatever he wanted. He said, let's pray. So he closed his eyes. Dude, I was so aware of my sin, I started confessing my sin. And I could talk pretty fast. I started confessing my sin. Oh, God, I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did. I went here. Did I? 15 minutes. And I wasn't getting done. And God, this voice said to me, Harvey, look behind you. My eyes were closed. I looked behind me. I saw a big old body of water. And God said, you see that ocean? You're trying to empty it with a little thimble of confession. You'll never get it empty. You can't even remember them all, Harv. I was desperate. I was freaking out, man. I had already been confessing for 15 minutes out loud as fast as I could. And I couldn't get to the bottom of the barrel. It's because I had all ocean shall hide a multitude of sin. Because Jesus will cover it with his blood. And it will be completely forgiven. And I became a new creature. Wouldn't it be neat if Mom became a new creature? Wouldn't it be neat if, who was the name over here somebody said? Not saved. Joe, wouldn't it be neat? A whole new creature. I'm not talking about becoming a member of a glee club and starts going to church and, okay, wears nice clothes. I'm talking about God coming to live inside of them. I'm talking about they want God. They're like living God. They're like talking God. And we all start wherever we are, and we like just baby step out of him and get closer and closer to him. But Jesus took him by the hand. He doesn't let you go. Is anybody getting excited about soul winning? Man, I got Jesus, got to let him go. Time. Okay, got to let him go. I'm trying to obey. I'm doing better, but I'm still 8 minutes past, God. So, God, we need you so much. We want, Lord, I want us to have your heart, to see people like you, and Lord, to be little Jesuses and rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Give them a gift of forgiveness when they're hurting us and saying, oh, being rude and all this stuff. And look past that and see them as an eternal soul. No wonder they're acting like that. They're full of hurt and bitterness and no hope. God, may we bring them hope. May we bring them you. Teach us. Help us to know. It's so simple. You're doing the work. All we got to do is be willing to let you say whatever you want. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. One thought, and we're done. Okay, I'm sorry. One thought. You ready? If you have the thought, okay, you're going to be at the grocery store. Or today, when we get done, those that are staying here, whatever, like last week, I went over to Little Caesars and the Boardwalk place to get a sub. And when I walked in, God gave me the thought, talk to this person. Say this. I said, okay, I'm willing. What do you want me to say? He said, say this. I said that. Next thing I know, God's in the conversation. Instead of talking about Michigan's favorite subject, the weather. Okay? God's in the conversation. Now, I don't have to take them through the whole Bible. All I got to, maybe all I got to say is God loves you, or did you know that hell's real? I mean, whatever God gives you to say. That's not, he doesn't normally have me say that, but he normally has me say stuff like, did you know God loves you? Or I ask him questions. Did you need Jesus to die for you? Did you need Jesus to die for you? And they go, and I say, he loves you. And then I just walk away. See, I just slip them a little time bomb. And then I walk away. It gets them. Give them a seed thought of God. If God's real, he's going to take that seed thought. All we got to do is be willing to give the seed thought. You like it? Can we do this? We want to get them to Jesus, right? Amen. I love you.